bless her. And then so Father, we just thank you today for Minnie Matthew. Lord, we thank you for this gift to the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the word that she has for us today, the story of your faithfulness to her. And Lord, we just speak peace over her heart, Lord. And we thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke, God, that there will be encouragement and the testimony of your faithfulness, Lord, come forth today. Lord, we open our hearts to receive her and to receive what you have from her. And we bless her, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I'm glad Pastor Scott covered my introduction. Well, all of you who know me know I don't like to stand up here and talk. But I also know that the very weakness that we have is what God gets excited about, making himself strong. So like Pastor Scott shared, I come from India. I came to the U.S. in August of 2007, came to pursue a master's degree in computer engineering to SIU Carbondale. But God had another totally different set of plans for my life. So I came here, like he said, as a quiet Catholic girl with a lot of baggage. Sharing a little bit about my history going back to a child. My parents really brought me up in godly principles as much as they knew how. And as a child, I remember I was curious about God. God was never explained to me as somebody who's nearby. He was always somebody who's distant to whom I go to bring my prayers and needs. So I didn't really have a relationship, but I was curious. And that curiosity came to a place of I got anxious because questions of what will happen to me when I die started coming up. To the point of I didn't have answers to those questions. But very soon, teenage years came by. So those thoughts, those curiosity were kind of put away by lots of distractions that came into my life. And I have two older siblings, and around that time, one of my siblings was going through a really difficult phase in her life. So my parents obviously had to give a lot of their attention to her. But the enemy, now I can see, the enemy used that to convince me that I'm not wanted. And basically, I don't matter to my family. And so I grew up with that sense of rejection. So, but there was always an emptiness and a need for love and attention and acceptance in me. So I took that need to all the wrong places. And one of the wrong places I took myself to is I started watching. Entertainment was a big part of it. I slowly started out with watching a little bit of sexual content to going up to really getting addicted to really porn and or porn, however you say it. And it came to a point, it started out with me enjoying it and kind of pushing the guilt to not feel guilty, pushing it away, but didn't really, sin doesn't last. Sin cannot keep you, or you cannot keep sin away by just stuffing it down. It does catch up with you, and it caught up with me in my thought life, and to the extent that I couldn't look at anybody and think pure thoughts. And the mercy of God is he allowed me to come to that place of desperation. And I really came to a place where I cried out to God that I want to be set free. Because I was filled with so much shame and this carrying this secret in my life because it's not something, I don't know how it is over here, but back home it's not something that you can even talk to your parents about, that you're struggling with this. Because it's immediately seen as shame for the family, you know. So I with this fear of what if somebody finds out, and with this shame of how am I even gonna be set free, I cried out to God, and he made a way. I was made to attend a youth retreat by the mercy of God, where for... Very, very honestly, I didn't want to go to that retreat, but my parish priest kind of said, no, you're going, without even knowing what's going on in my life. And for the first time, I heard sin explained. I heard the grace of God explained. And I had a moment where I could confess to somebody who didn't know me, and that gave me a peace that this my secret is not going back home because these people don't know me. But I did confess to God. But the thing is, transformation of heart and mind can only be done by the Spirit of God. No amount of prayers given to me can change me. It has to be God. So I came to the U.S. with that baggage. And the moment I came to Carbondale, the very first people that met me were the students from a ministry called Chi Alpha. It's a Christian ministry. And they were the first people who, I like to say, happened to be the first people to meet me. That was God setting me up totally. So I started going to their church, honestly very fearful, even in stepping into the church, because being a Catholic girl, it meant if I'm going and I'm involving myself with this church, I am dishonoring my family. So I went there, but the very first time I entered the church, I experienced the presence of God. And though I was fearful to go back, I kept going back. And in like few months of time in one of the services on a Sunday morning, there they give every Sunday after service, they give an altar call for salvation. And my heart started beating hard, and I started hearing God speak to me that, Minnie, you are a sinner, and you need me as your savior. Are you gonna say yes to me? And I started reasoning it out, but God, my family, what will happen if I say yes to you? Will they disown me? And with all those fears, he said, no, you have to stand up. You have to. And it's not something that's done here. It's not something that's done in that church regularly too. But that very Sunday, the pastor asked people who wanted to give their life to God to stand up. I'm like, God, I'm not standing up. But he made me stand up. So I that day I said yes to God, yes to Jesus, and gave my life to him, not knowing all that would come after that, even being fearful of what all could it mean. But the very first thing after that that happened that really amazed me was that God started sending people to me to tell me how much he loves me. And that was in the midst of still my struggle where I am, when I confessed back home, going to that retreat, when I confessed, my commitment of that confession was true. And I asked God to grant me the grace to not go back to it. And he kept me. But I still struggled in my thoughts. And I remember in the moments where I felt the weakest was the very time when people used to come just telling me God loves you. And I was like, God, it it amazed me, it confused me, because I had never known a God of that nature, who would know all the thoughts, and the people coming to me had no idea what was going on in my life, but he knew, and he would still come and tell me that he loves me. And something else that started happening is I've been encountered by the love of God. And like Pastor Scott mentioned earlier, it's the Father's heart and the Father's love that I started experiencing. But it felt to me, it was like waves coming on the rock. You know, it's not affecting the rock for a while. And that was the case with me. I didn't understand the love of God. It didn't make sense to me. And I even questioned, how can you even love? And I honestly, I didn't even open my heart to his love. But it didn't stop him from loving me. He still kept loving me. He still kept showing me who he is as my Father. And eventually, there was a day when I was like, if this is really true, if what all these people are over and over sharing with me is really true, and God really is my Father, and he really wants to love me as my Father, then I want to give it a try. And I opened my heart to God to experience his love as my Father. And that truly was one of the transforming moments of my life, when I said yes and I opened my heart to God for experiencing his love as my Father. Because that brought freedom from all the struggles that I was having of shame, of guilt, of insecurities, of the struggle of looking at all other places for love and acceptance. All those things started going away one by one, because I started getting secure in who I am as the child of God. And the pursuit of God and of his love for us has nothing to do with where we are at in our life. He pursues us even if we don't want him. And that has been my story in coming to know Christ. Is I started out with curiosity, but then I went all the wrong places. But it didn't stop him from pursuing me. It didn't stop his love from pursuing me. And I know I'm sharing my testimony, but if you are here, and it's maybe not exactly the same, but that is kind of where you are at, or where there are questions or doubts about God's love, is this is my story, and if it's true for me, it's true, it will be true for you too, that the love of God is not limited, and he's not troubled or intimidated by our struggles, and he will pursue us regardless, and he won't stop. And this is what my life has been: he won't stop until we say yes to that love. And truly, we won't regret it. I have not, and you will not. And so, yes, it was over a year-long process of coming, changing from impurity to purity, but God did it, and he has, by his grace and mercy, still keeping me to walk in purity, to live in purity. But I stayed in Carbondale for around 8 years, getting my master's and my PhD. And during those years, the very first year after I was born again, I went through a time of, without my choice, my parents found out that I had become a born-again believer. And I went through a time of a lot of doubts and fears of that. I used to always tell God, if I go back home, I'm afraid I'll give up on you. But there's a scripture that kept coming to me over and over from Psalms where it says that God will hold your hand and he will not let you fall headlong. And I'm standing here because he has not let go of me. Because I know the place that I was at in the beginning. If it was not for God holding on to me, I would have let go of him. And so that in all those struggles of coming to the purity of God and going through the struggle of really believing what is true about God, because I was taught a lot of things that had nothing to do with scriptures, and those practices were like beliefs in my heart. And so I went through a period of confusion and doubts and trying to find out the truth for myself of who really Jesus is. And in coming to the other side, where how the scripture in Romans 5, it says that when you go through tribulations, it produces perseverance in you. And perseverance produces proven character. And that proven character is what keeps building hope in us, you know, to stand on the promises of God. And honestly, when I look back to those years, because of the test that I'm kind of still in this process of making this transition from a totally secular career to ministry, if I had not gone through all those things, those past years of my life when I was in Carbondale, I don't know if I would have the strength to go through this test that I am in right now. So no matter what is going on in your life, with whether it be struggles, whether it be doubts, whether it be uncertainties, stick to God, even if you feel like you're holding on to him by a thread. Because there have been moments in my life where I felt like that. I'm barely holding on to God. But his hand is stronger than ours. And in that process is where perseverance is produced in us to keep pursuing God. And hope really does not disappoint. It does not disappoint. And God does not. I'm convinced, and I honestly want this to be the story of my life, that people know that God does not play games with our lives. And he means what he says. It's right after those beginning few years of being in walking as a believer in Christ, God started giving me promises and prophetic words and dreams that he's going to make me a witness to the nations. And he's going to use me to share his love and his heart to broken and hurting people. And I had no idea how it's going to come to pass. To me, it felt like, I mean, God, I don't even want to stand in front of people, you know. Keep me in obscurity, I'm happy with that. but he's faithful. There's something, I don't remember now, it's somebody said this, and this was given to me by God through someone else, but our life is like puzzle pieces, and God knows exactly where each piece goes. We may not understand it. It may not even make sense when we receive a piece. But just because it doesn't make sense, don't let go of it. Because God knows where it's going to fit. And in the right time, it will fit. And some of the promises I received from God, it turned into desires in my heart. I didn't grow up with a desire of, I want to serve people. I want to minister to people. You know, I want to share the love of God. I didn't grow up feeling all those things. It was promises that turned into desires in my heart. And some of those things that are coming to pass now, a lot of those things still in the land of not knowing how it will come to pass. But God is faithful. He's faithful to fulfill each word he gives to us because it's his word, and he's not a liar. Something I learned and I want to share as an encouragement is, don't draw the picture of what the promise is going to look like. Receive the promise, hold on to it, but don't limit God by describing to your own self what it will come out in action as. Let God do it in his own time, in his own way, because he will. And so anyway, fast forward to 2015, October is when I came here to Springfield. I was hired as a visiting assistant professor at UIS in computer science, and in coming here, that was the very first big transition in my life. There was a transition when I came from India to U.S., but I didn't realize how real it was because I was not even a believer then. But when I transitioned here, there was also an emotional transition that had to happen, which I didn't know would take like longer than months. It was more than a year. And something that I learned a hard way is not to isolate ourselves. And that's exactly what I did. I came to church. I didn't miss church. But the rest of my days, I was in isolation. And the enemy capitalizes on us when we are alone. And he started bringing lies back. He started bringing temptations back. I got tested again. And in all humility, I fell again, going back to my old ways. It's such a deceptive way of slowly moving away from God that I didn't even realize how slowly that change was happening, because I chose to stay away from fellowship with God's people. From moving from being zealous for God to a place of really very dull in God. And there's a need in all of our hearts for belongingness. There's a need for love. And if it's not coming from Jesus, our heart will find a way somewhere else. There's no staying in neutrality. Our heart doesn't function in neutrality. We have to receive love from somewhere. And when I started stepping away from Jesus, I started stepping into my old ways. But the grace of God is that now I had the Holy Spirit inside of me who didn't let me continue. And he kept lovingly, gently reminding me what I need to come back to, and the love of God. And, you know, it still amazes me that God doesn't come with condemnation. I mean, it's in scripture, it's true, but when I experience it, still amazes me that we can easily see the brokenness of a person and just focus on the brokenness, you know. But when God came to me, and when he still comes to me, in his mercy, he comes with his love, you know, that reminding me, in those days, he was reminding me of my history with him and drawing me back. And he did drew me back. But something I learned from that process of going through loneliness and isolation and coming back to Jesus is, even if we are believers in Christ, if we don't stay close to God, if we don't stay in fellowship with his people, if we don't fill our hearts with the words of God, the love of God, the fellowship of God, it's very easy to fall back into sin. It's very easy to step away from the grace of God. And but just know this, that God still doesn't give up. He still doesn't let go. And that has been my story, that he didn't let go of me. And I'm still standing here being able to talk to you about these things is because I know you're my family. And I know that God's goodness and faithfulness is worth sharing even through my brokenness. And so moving on to 2017, I knew my contract was coming to an end. In the beginning, I was given a 3-year contract. I was told that it would be extended. But in September of 2017, I happened to go to IHOP Kansas City. And somebody from a different church prophesied over me. That was a few months after I came out of all the struggles where God had restored my heart back to him. Total stranger, had no idea about my life, not knowing me at all, basically read my book to me. And that got my attention because I knew this person doesn't know me. And one of the things that God spoke to me through this person is there's a change coming in the coming year for you. And that was 2018. And I knew at that point I was going to apply for a full-time professor position in January. So I'm imagining that's the change that's coming. You know, I'll get the job. And but January came, and something started stirring in my heart that I became dissatisfied with my job. It was like night and day clarity to me. What I enjoy doing is being with people and sharing the love of God and ministering to broken hearts, sharing my story. And I started crying out to God that, God, I cannot make this transition. Even to imagine to tell my family that I'm going to leave a secular career and go into ministry, it's impossible to even imagine that my family would say yes to it. And that meant a lot to me. I wanted my family's blessing. So I started crying out to him, God, you have to make a way. I know I don't want to live my whole life doing something I don't enjoy. And I see now what I enjoyed to do. So you have to make a way. And in March, I found out that not just that I didn't get the position of a professor, but they decided to not renew my contract. So I knew that August of this year would be the last month of my work at UIS as a professor. And I chose a position because I felt like that's what God wanted me to do. Is I said, God, I'm going to wait on you to know from you what you want me to do without a plan B. And I don't recommend everybody to do that, but I really felt that's what I wanted to do because I was so desperate that I don't want to do what I don't enjoy. And there's no way that I can convince my family for it. So I started waiting on God beginning from March of this year to hear from him what he wants me to do. And I basically told him, God, if you don't tell me, Mini, go ahead and apply for jobs. I'm not applying. And my expectation was in like a week or two, God will respond. But I'm not hearing anything. And I'm waiting. A month goes by. I'm still waiting. And that started making me anxious. Anxious that, did I really hear God? Am I leaning on my own understanding and doing what I think is best? in all those time, in that time of questioning whether I had really heard God, in one of the Sunday services after service, I was up here to receive prayer. Really not even going to tell Pastor Scott what's going on, just standing there to respond for the message I had heard. And he comes up and he starts praying for me, basically praying that, God, thank you that she's exactly where you want her to be. And she is on your path. And I knew I had not told him that, so there's no way he's going to pray that unless God was making him pray that. So that brought a peace in my heart that I'm doing the right thing. But I'm still waiting to hear, and God is still not speaking. He's giving me all kinds of encouragement, except tell me what to do next. And I'm like, God, why don't you just tell me what to do next? But there were so many days that I was anxious. I woke up crying because I didn't know what I'm going to do next. I didn't know where my life is going. But one scripture that God spoke over and over to me is from Numbers, where it says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. But he started speaking that to me in first person, meaning I'm not a man that I should lie. If I've told you that I am in it, then I am in it. You got to trust me to show you the way. And with that anxiety, I still, like, that was one of my moments of barely holding on to God by a thread. Is I didn't know what's happening. Honestly, I didn't even know if I would ever hear back from God about what I'm asking. But I still said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, though I don't understand. And there was somebody else on another Tuesday evening prayer who was just visiting from another church. And she came to me, and she started praying for me. And she prayed exact same prayer that he prayed for me. And so that was, for me, it was like, okay, there's no way they've talked to each other about this. So I knew that God is in it. So there were moments of God just confirming it to me, meaning you're doing the right thing. Because, I mean, even in my sharing this to you, your very first thought must have been like, that doesn't make sense. If you know you're not going to have a job, the right thing to do is start applying for jobs, you know. So to me, I went through that battle of, am I being foolish here? Or am I really hearing God? There were even questions where I felt like people I'm sharing with is not understanding me. But something I've learned through the process is, if this happens to you, if God asks you to do something that logically makes no sense, even if it be that people don't understand you, even people who really love you, and that has nothing to do with them. But I heard, I forget the name of the preacher, but I recently read a blog article of his where he said that when God speaks something to you and he's about to birth something in you, it's going to first come to you. And people will not necessarily understand, but they will eventually catch up, because God will bring it to pass. So just because it doesn't make sense in our logical reasoning does not necessarily mean it's not God. And long story short, in August, I mean, in between all that, I did talk to Pastor Scott. I shared everything that was going on. I was receiving encouragement from him. But in August, he put this proposal before me, why don't you consider working for the church? And very honestly, I don't think even he knew all the legalities involved with it, in having somebody who is not a U.S. citizen to, you know, work as a minister here. But I got excited, because to me that was God answering my prayer. You know, he's showing me what to do next. And I went ahead, I found a lawyer, and, you know, I got all the information from her. But that evening, I come back, and this is just the ways of God. It has nothing to do with Pastor Scott. But Tuesday evening, the prayer is done, and I'm waiting on him to just talk to him of what's going on. And he tells me, Minnie, I was not really thinking, you know, like a full-time sponsoring you or anything. It was like a kind of like a part-time. And to me, it felt like a crushing in my heart. God, what are you doing with my life here? Because I knew to apply for a visa, I can't apply as a part-time. It has to be a full-time. And I went back home crying out to God, confused. What are you doing, God? I know you don't play games with my life, but it feels like you're playing games with my life because you're saying yes and no, yes and no, yes and no. When will it just turn into yes? But again, he said the same thing. Will you trust me? Will you trust me to let me make it happen and no other man? And I said yes to him. It's funny. I come back the next day, and I hear a totally different answer from him. And it's not because anything to do with him, but the lesson God was teaching me is he wants me to depend on him and him alone and not rely on any person for my needs, not rely on any person for my answers, not rely on any person to be my way, you know, but find God as my way. And so anyways, where I stand today is I've applied for a religious visa, and I would really appreciate all your prayers for me because those legal processes can sometimes take months. I don't know how long it will be. So this is what God has put in my heart. I know with all my heart is I'm not stepping into it just because this was the option given to me. I'm not stepping into it because this is what I want to do. I know it's because God has confirmed to me that's what he wants me to do. I would also appreciate prayers for me with my family. It's miraculous that my father even said yes to this for my life and gave me his blessing. But I've seen this even in previous situations in my life where my father has said yes and he has had doubts. But I knew when he said yes, it was God blessing me. So I'm again in that position. So just just grace over my family to accept the things of God for my life. And I just felt in sharing my story, in sharing my past and in sharing where things are right now in my life, to like encourage two different categories of people. Is one, if you are in a place having questions about God, or you are in a place having your own struggles in knowing God, or struggles of struggling with your own sin, know that the love of God is not limited by it. And his love will pursue you and his grace will transform you no matter what it is that's going on in your life. And if there are dreams for the other category of people, I felt as to give as an encouragement, if there are dreams in your life that feels like they're dead or feels like there's no way it would come to pass, or even prophetic words you've received that you're questioning now that I don't know if it was even God, just hold on to it. Even if you don't know what to do with it, just hold on to it, because that seed will produce fruit. It will grow. God will make a way. He's not a liar, and he does not disappoint. That's what I've understood in this time of waiting is, those who wait on God, they will not be ashamed. They will not be disappointed. God has his own ways. It's most of the times very different from what we imagine. But he does not disappoint. And so I pray that my story does encourage you to hold on, even when things don't make sense, and to hold on even if life is difficult in following the ways of God. That's all.
Thank you, Minnie. Praise God. She's courageous, that's for sure. She loves Jesus. Funny, I don't remember some of those parts, but that's